From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of October, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and hear about crop progress and harvest in the states of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota from the state statisticians. Those, of course, are the top five corn-producing states in the nation. And as we round out our program, we'll hear from Harry Cooney. He's an agricultural energy specialist based in Bloomington, Illinois, at GrowMark. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, wet and rainy, futures finished the day mostly lower. December contract on the soft red winter wheat at $8.71.5, down 12 and 3 quarters. The March at $8.83, down 13. And next year's July for the harvest month, a nickel lower at $8.48 and 3 quarters of a cent. Those all settlement prices. A settlement from the Kansas City Board of Trade for the July harvest month as well. The hard red finished at $8.82 and a quarter, down 12 and a quarter. From the corn pit in Chicago, these are closes. $7.57.5, up 3 quarters on the close. The March at $7.58 and 3 quarters, down a penny and a quarter. And the May at $7.54 and 3 quarters, down a penny. July futures $7.47 on its close, down 1.5 cents. And September at $6.70 and 3 quarters, up a penny. December contract at $6.31.5, up a quarter of a cent. Of course, a close means that it may change by the time it settles. November beans, $15.29.5, a close, down 30 and 3 quarters of a cent. January at $15.32, down 31. March futures $15 and a penny, down 28.5. And the May soybeans at $14.63, down 25.5. July at $14.45 and 3 quarters, down 23.5. And August at $14.30, down 12 and 3 quarters. Next year's November beans, $13.24, down 5 and a quarter on the afternoon. Bean meal futures in the October at $4.64.30, down $10.30. Bean oil at $50.30, down 42 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished December at $126.37.5, up 25. November feeders at $146.50, 87.5 higher. And December lean hogs at $76.85, up $1.72. and a half cents. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil at $91.84 a barrel, down 64 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, a nickel and 4 tenths lower at $2.86.5. And ethanol trading at $2.37.25, up 2 7/10 in the October. November futures there at $2.37.5, up 2 1/4. The difference, not available yet this afternoon. Natural gas at $3.53 3/10. That's up a nickel and 3 tenths. And heating oil or diesel fuel at 3.13 1/10 of a cent, 6 tenths of a cent lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,774.10 an ounce, down $7.80, and the U.S. dollar at 79.74. That's down 0.08. The CRB index at 309.30 is down 0.02 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, we'll see cloudy skies, a high of just 68 degrees. And this afternoon, a northeast wind at 13 to 15, gusting all the way to 20. Chance of precipitation set at 20% this afternoon. Tonight, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a low of 56. And tomorrow, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, and a high of 68. Wednesday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 54 with a south wind at about 9 miles an hour. Thursday, sunny skies and 79 degrees with a south wind at 8 to 16. And Thursday night, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 48. Friday, sunny and 57. Friday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and 41. Saturday, rain, mostly cloudy, and 53. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 35 degrees. And Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 54. So it's cooling off, a little rain, and we're going to have cooler temperatures, as you'll hear from Don Day a bit later in this program.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the second day of October. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes rain and gray skies come, and that's just the way it is. It was kind of a blah day here, and then in Chicago, things turned red.
They turned red and sort of blahish in the beans and the wheat, Todd. You know, the corn seems to have this few bright spots, but with all the beans being down so hard, it just doesn't let it shine very much.
So is it just that the bean yields have been so much better than most people have expected, or are there other things happening in the marketplace?
Well, I think there's three or four things happening out there. I think the bean yields that we're hearing from certain areas have definitely improved from what they were early. Number one, we've got some reports like FC Stone coming out later this afternoon and Informa later this week that will probably, could probably raise the acreage and the bean yields up a little bit. That way, China's on a holiday for the week, so they're not really buying anything. And, of course, the world economy had a few flip-flops here and there, and we've seen quite a bit of fund liquidation and chart points being broken. And we're seeing, you know, people just go to the sidelines and say, I've had enough of this, and go on. So all of that put together, lower beans.
Well, lower beans. I'm wondering if the bright side of this might be a harvest low sooner rather than later and then kind of a turnaround in the marketplace. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking along those same lines. I'm thinking that once we get the report next Thursday out of the way, that we're going to have a chance to just say, hey, you know, the world does like beans. We've shipped more beans out earlier this year than last year. And there is a great demand for these. And, you know, we're going to be short of other crops here until we get some South American crops on the board because we're going to be the only grocery store stocking beans here for the next few months.
Now, farmers, while the bean yields are better than expected, farmers have had a short crop season for corn for sure, beans probably as well. When you look at the month of October, they'll be setting some crop insurance figures. What are the important crop insurance products that producers need to be thinking about if they've already signed up for them, which they will have, and what do they need to watch this month?
Well, of course, we will be setting the harvest price for corn and beans here during the month of October. We've had 2 days of it. You know, not very good for the bean price as of right now for the first 2 days, but it's going to be as the average as the month goes on. So, you know, that's just going to be the way it goes. You know, the corn seems to be stabilized in here and seems to be holding its own quite well.
Okay. Many of the producers and many of our brokers, along with Darrell Good, all thought that it would be a good idea to hedge that crop insurance product back in June and July. And Darrell was of a mind that you take a quarter of it off each week in the month of October. Is this a good idea to consider at least? I know we've got lower prices at this time.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, basically if you actually sold futures, a lot of people are scaling in and taking off, you know, a 20th each day as we trade, just as they'll be setting the price like that. Others are taking off at the end of the week here for as what's going, and that's going to give you your average. Because remember, it can be trading a lot different price at the end of the month, and that doesn't mean that's what the average for the month is. So you want to hang in there if you're just hedging your insurance price.
All right. A 20th is kind of an interesting way to do it, or by quarters. So a couple of options. Is there anything else that we had to talk about before I let you go for the afternoon?
You know, we've got the big government report coming up next week, and I think all eyes are sort of sitting there, and we're going to be in a sideways trading pattern going into that day.
Yeah, and it's all about, for the crop production report, it will be somewhat about yield and production, but mostly, I suppose, about number of acres that will be used to figure those total productions.
Acres, and the big one's going to be feed usage for the last quarter.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday, rather Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. In fact, you can find our programming there If you miss it, I can't get to the internet. You can also try this number, 217-333-3434. We update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time each and every business day of the year, with either the opening numbers from the pit opening in Chicago or the closing numbers from the CME Group, and a bit of analysis. That phone number again is 217-333-3434.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like federal crop insurance. Federal crop insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, released the latest crop progress report. It shows that 94% of the corn crop around the nation has reached maturity. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 72%. 54% of the crop has been harvested. The five-year average is 20%. The condition of the corn is not very good, as you might have guessed. 26% very poor, 24% poor, 25% fair, and 21% good. Just 4% of the crop is considered to be in excellent condition. Soy complex and beans across the nation, 85% considered to be dropping leaves, 77% the rolling five-year average, and 41% of the beans have been harvested nationwide. That compares to just 19% at this date over the rolling five-year average. The condition of the crop now at 14% very poor, poor 19%, 32% fair, 29% good, and 6% excellent. Here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is a Travis Brazil. I was filled out with the weekly crops and weather report. Dry weather throughout the week allowed Iowa's farmers to surpass the halfway point in harvesting corn and soybean acres. Soybean harvest advanced 31 percentage point from last week, with Northwest Iowa's harvesting 38% of their crops in just 1 week. Farmers are getting fall tillage on the way. Topsoil moisture failed to 93% very short to short, while subsoil moisture failed 96% very short to short. With row crop harvest more than half complete, 56% of the state is seeing moderate to heavy grain moving from farm to elevator. Only 20% of Iowa's corn is rated in good to excellent condition. 56% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed, a 19 percentage point increase from last week. Corn harvest is 46% higher than last year at this time. Moisture content for all corn in the field is estimated at 19%, while moisture content for corn being harvested is estimated at 17%. 17% of Iowa's corn crops is experiencing moderate to heavy lodging, while 13% is experiencing ear droppage. 32% of Iowa's soybeans is rated in good to excellent condition. 93% of Iowa's soybean crop is dropping leaves, while 54% of the soybeans have been harvested. This is Travis Brazil reporting for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. Cool weather across much of the state provided near-ideal conditions for corn and soybean harvest to continue. Temperatures were again below normal last week, averaging 60 degrees, which was 2 degrees below normal. Statewide precipitation for the week averaged a near-normal 78.107 inch. However, average in this instance was not an accurate statistic, considering the northern third of the state received virtually no rainfall, while the southern third received above normal accumulations in excess of 1.5 inches. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was reported at 34% very short, 44% short, 21% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn in the mature stage was reported at 98%, compared to 88% 1 year ago and 75% for the five-year average. Corn harvest now stands at 71%, compared to only 29% last year and 33% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn harvest category was the Southwestern, where 93% is now in the bins. Soybeans, dropping leaves, advanced to 85%, compared to 72% 1 year ago and 74% for the five-year average. 22% of the crop has now been harvested, and this pace compares to 10% a year ago and 21% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean harvest category was the northeastern, where 48% is now in the bins. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in mostly fair condition. Fall seeding of the soft red winter wheat crop advanced to 9% compared to 8% 1 year ago and 10% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending September 30th, 2012. Fall harvest progressed across the state with limited rainfall. Corn harvest is over half complete, near 1 month ahead of average. Corn conditions rated 22%, very poor, 20 poor, 26 fair, 27 good, and 5 excellent. Soybean harvest also near the halfway point, with harvest difficult due to plants with dry pods and green stems. Soybean conditions rated 19%, good to excellent. Winter wheat seeding approached a two-thirds point, but fields were slow to emerge due to dry soil conditions. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report. Corn and soybean producers made rapid harvest progress during the week, aided by dry conditions. As of September 30th, corn was 53% harvested compared to 5% last year and 5% for the five-year average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 16%. Soybeans were 76% harvested compared to 26% last year and 23% average. The average moisture content of harvested soybeans was 10%. Dry weather prevailed across the state this week. Most reporting stations recorded no precipitation during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 44% very short, 41% short, and 15% adequate. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 3.98 inches. Slightly below normal temperatures were experienced during the week, ranging from 28 degrees as a low to 82 degrees for the high. Harvest of both corn and soybeans rapidly advanced during the week, with only minor delays due to scattered rain showers and heavy morning dew. Corn harvest is running about 8 days ahead of the five-year average pace, while soybean harvest lags about 2 days behind the average. Many farmers have been reluctant to store grain on the farm due to fears of aflatoxin contamination. 91% of the corn acreage is mature compared to 61% last year and 70% for the five-year average. 35% of the corn acreage has been harvested compared to 9% last year and 22% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 21%. 88% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared to 72% last year and 81% with the five-year average. 18% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared to 4% last year and 22% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested soybean is averaging about 14%. Planting winter wheat is underway and will gain momentum as farmers finish harvesting corn and soybeans. Pasture condition is rated 24% good to excellent compared with 19% last year at this time. Late cuttings of hay have helped increase forage supplies, but operations will still be short going into the winter months. This is Greg Matley reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets, Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of things on the world scene to talk about today. Let's start off with the tensions in the Mideast and what kind of problems that creates for the oil supply.
Well, it seems like we've had some talk in the media in the past couple of weeks again about Iran and some of the concerns over the Straits of Hormuz, and also Syria came into the picture there for a while. And anytime those Middle Eastern countries start stirring things up again, or at least that stirring up gets into the media, it starts making a little bit of excitement in the energy markets. So we had the crude oil market sell off from mid-September into late September for a little over $100 on the top, down to about $89 on the bottom. And at the middle to the end of last week, some of these concerns again about Syria and Iran perked the market back up to about 93 or 94. Now we're just kind of sitting in here. We're kind of waiting for the next news event, seeing what is going to materialize from over there. So far in the last day or so, though, we haven't heard a lot of new news out of over there. So now we go back to looking at the rest of the news stories out there.
One of the longstanding problems has been Europe. Anything there?
Well, the European issue is always out there, and any time the traders, in fact, both of those stories, the Middle East and then the European problems, if you want the market to go down, you start talking about the European debt crisis and all the problems there with their economies. If you want the market to go up, you just kind of pull out the tape and put it in the recorder or in the player that talks about the Middle East tensions. So far, I haven't seen a lot of talk just this week about the European issues, but I'm sure if they want the market to dip back under 90 again, they'll start playing those issues. And each one of them are major issues. It's just, what day do you play which one?
Yeah, and then on Europe, one of their suppliers is Russia, and there's been some tensions there as of recent between even the Russia and the United States and Vladimir Putin. Russia is a little worried, I guess, about the price of oil and maybe price slides of oil more than hikes, I would think.
Yeah, being a producer, they're going to want to keep it up. When you're up at $90 or $91, $92 in here, quite frankly, oil's kind of in the middle of the range of where it's been over the past, 5 to 10 years. When you think of the peak back in 2008, around $145 to $150, then oil crumbled down to about $33 or $35 a barrel late that year and in early 2009. Right here around 90, we're about halfway back. So for the producers, they're not getting hurt bad. For the consumers, we'd always like it cheaper, but it could be a lot worse. So we're kind of right in the middle of the trading range of the last 5 to 10 years here. But obviously, Russia being a producer, they would always want to have it higher if they could.
Is supply right in the middle of where it ought to be as well then?
Well, here in the U.S., we have a dynamic situation right here now. We have gasoline and diesel fuel stocks near the bottom of the barrel for their historic range for this time of the year. We have adequate supplies, but from here on, we hope to see some increases in those stocks of diesel fuel and gasoline. Crude oil, though, crude oil stocks are at or on the top end of the historical range right in here. So there's enough oil out there. It's just that we need to get some of it refined into the products. We've had a few refinery glitches around the U.S., some refineries taking some downtime to do some retooling here in the fall. So stocks are adequate. It's just the product stocks are on the lower end of the gas or range of normal.
Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report to take up the agricultural energy markets. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest and the nation.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Agricultural Fair Day. It's also World Vegetarian Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1795, Robert Bakewell died, an agriculturalist. He helped revolutionize cattle and sheep breeding in England. He obtained the best animals he could find, and then he worked with a closed herd, inbreeding only superior animals. In 1908, the Model T Ford was introduced at a price of $825. Due to efficient mass production, by 1925, the price of a two-door Model T was only $260. In 1913, a monument to honor seagulls was erected in Salt Lake City. The gulls had eaten a plague of grasshoppers that threatened the Mormon settlers' crops in 1848. In 1972, Louis Leakey died, an archaeologist and anthropologist. He was largely responsible for convincing scientists that Africa was the place to search for human origins, not Java or China. And in 1980, European Community countries banned the use of hormones in cattle feed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon, Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming on the phone line with us. Don, thanks for taking the time with us. A little rain and really kind of cool here, but I guess that's what we can expect over the next few days maybe, and colder weather later in the week. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt about it. We've got much cooler and wet weather moving into a lot of the nation's midsection. In fact, fall going to really kick into overdrive here over the next week to 10 days from the Rockies east. In fact, some of the first snows of the season will fall on the mountains of Montana and Wyoming tonight and tomorrow. Some of the Dakotas, northern portions of Minnesota, some of the northern Great Lakes have snow in the forecast here for the end of the week. And that colder, wet weather will settle into the Midwest and Corn Belt as well. Especially be ready for some colder weather by the weekend.
The places that seem to need this wet weather simply aren't getting it still. So places to the west of here, to the western side of the Mississippi River, even northern Illinois, anybody going to get relief over the next week out of this system?
Well, yeah, I do think that there's going to be a fair amount of moisture with these systems as they come in. The clash between the real colder Canadian air and what's left of the relatively warmer air in the southern plain states and the south will help to produce some precipitation. So I'm cautiously optimistic that in northern Illinois, even some of the western areas are going to get some precipitation out of this. We should also be talking about the potential, I think a high potential, for some freezing temperatures in many areas. I think the possibility of sub-freezing temperatures this weekend and early next week will be possible.
Where?
I would say most of the northern and western Corn Belt. I see overnight lows down into the lower 30s, even some upper 20s.
Wow, that's getting cold. How early do they get this cold? Usually, is it about this time of season?
Usually, it's more towards the second week of October. So we might say this could be 5 to 7 days early for some folks, but not extraordinary.
All right, turn your attention to South America. How is their season progressing?
Well, Argentina looks to be the benefactor of some stormy weather and some pretty good chances for precipitation. Some of that's going to drift up into southern areas and central areas of Brazil later on. So the prospects aren't looking too bad for South America in terms of picking up some rainfall.
And then let's go back kind of the global picture, focusing mostly on the United States. Do you feel, as some other meteorologists are beginning to suggest, that a larger change rather than just from summer to fall is in order at this point that could cause our La Nina or El Nina impact?
Well, right now, water temperatures in the El Nino zone are only weekly in the El Nino range. And right now, the indications are that it's probably going to stay a weak El Nino. And when we have a weak El Nino, the signs, the impacts tend to be a lot less than in the stronger El Nino. A lot of the long-range forecasts that have been made for the winter season have been based on the premise that it will be a moderately to strong El Nino. From what I'm seeing, it doesn't look like that. And if we are going to have a weak El Nino, our winter will trend closer to normal than having some of those El Nino impacts. Not to say there won't be some of the impacts of El Nino, but I am on a little bit more of the cautious side that the impacts won't be as great as some suggest.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. That wraps it up. If you'd like to hear it again, you can always do that on our website at willag.org. You can sign up for our free weekend newsletter there, too. That's over on the right-hand side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason.